Kurt, I had a older preacher one time tell me about being at a gospel meeting, and he said they came to the last song, and they sang "None of Self and All of Thee," but they only sang the first verse. And so the last words they sang in worship service was, "I proudly said to Jesus, none of thee, all of self and none of thee." He said, you probably should have sang the last verse if you're going to sing just one verse of that particular song. But that is a great song to go with this morning's lesson, because as you look at that song, you see the natural growth that every Christian goes through. That there is the conquering of self throughout our growth in our Christian life. It is always about making Christ bigger in my life and my own selfish wants and desires smaller, until He is the one that truly controls my life. That I have crucified self, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, and now Christ lives in me fully. And that is ultimately our goal. And this morning I want us to think about how much we've grown in this past year as we come to the last Sunday of 2013. That's hard to even believe that it's going by this quick. And we're prepared to head into 2014. I want us to think back to assess where we are, to assess how we've grown. You know, we do this in a lot of ways. We do this in a lot of our worldly endeavors in our lives and in various different manners. But I think the most important thing we need to think about as we approach the end of the year and we think back is, what have I done spiritually? How have I grown? I want us to think about this in two different ways. First, I want to think about it individually. How has Nathan grown in his spiritual life? How have you grown in your spiritual life? Only you can answer that question. I want to provide some ideas and some questions for you to ask yourself. But I also want us to think about what we've done this year as a congregation. Have we grown, and how have we grown in the last year as the Lord's church here at Cary? So as we think about individually, let's think about some areas spiritually in which we need to ask ourselves, have I grown? Have I done better this year? Am I in a better place in the last Sunday of 2013 than I was in the last Sunday of 2012? First of all, let's think about in our Bible study. Are you giving more time today than you were a year ago to studying your Bible? Do you spend more time than you did last year? Psalm 119 and verse 97, the psalmist says that God's Word is his meditation all the day long. Are we anywhere close to that? Do we spend large chunks of time in our life thinking about God's Word, thinking about what God has said to us, what He has commanded us, how He wants us to live, what He wants us to be? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 says that in regards to our children, that we teach them God's Word. When? Well, when we rise up, when we lay down, when we're walking in the way, when we're sitting. Pretty much at every opportunity that we have to tell and to teach God's Word. So have we been this year growing in what we give to God in Bible study? What about also not only just the time that we give to Bible study, but also the depth of study that we have engaged ourselves in? You know, have you learned to study more in depth using resources and making the many connections that can be made in the biblical text? I promise you that if you get into the text and you go deep into it and you begin to make these connections to see how all of the Bible comes together into one theme, and you begin to see that when you see this, it branches you out over here and over there, and it leads you into other areas of study. It is an exciting way to study the Bible. Sometimes we're just surface studiers, aren't we? We're daily Bible readers only, but we really don't study the Bible. We just kind of get through the verses that we're assigned for the day, and we put it up and we say, okay, check that off the list. We need to study in depth. Understanding the depths of simple doctrine. Understanding the depths of baptism. Yes, I need to be baptized, and that's a requirement for salvation, but do I understand the depth of what baptism is? What the Bible has to say about it. So I remember being baptized at the age of 12. And I understood that I needed to be baptized. I understood that it was the only way for me to have my sins washed away. But I promise you, today I understand baptism and God's plan in baptism much greater, in a greater depth. And it has made baptism all the more powerful. That we understand the depths of simple doctrine such as worship, why we're here. So many churches go astray because members do not have a deep understanding of what worship to God means. They think they're here for them, and they're wrong. When we understand in depth what the Bible is telling us about what worship is to God, we understand that I'm here for Him. I'm here to do what He wants. And it doesn't really have anything to do with my desires, my wants. It has everything to do with Him. We need to understand the depths of service and humility, love, faith, grace. All of these things, if we spend our time getting past just the surface things and get down into them, into the depth of the way the Bible defines them, not the way we want them to be or the way we've always heard them to be, but that we look at the Bible and we see how the Bible defines these things as we come to a deeper understanding of them, it will change the way we live the Christian life. Have you gotten deeper into God's Word? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." See, the writer of Hebrews here, he just finished in chapter 5 saying that by this time some of you should have been teachers. You should have learned enough by this time to have been teaching God's Word, but you haven't. In fact, you've regressed. You went backwards. You've atrophied and you need to be taught the very basics again. But he says, we got to get past that. We got to get past the basics and we got to move on to maturity. We got to get on to the deeper things. We need to endeavor to do that. And I hope that you have been able to do that in your life. Have you also grown this year in your understanding of the teachings of Christ? Can you better explain the doctrine of Christ because you understand it better because you have studied it? I am not a good enough preacher to give you enough information for you to function on listening to me alone. And there's not any Bible class teachers in here good enough for you to function just on listening to them alone. You're going to have to do the work yourself if you want to understand what God wants you to understand in His Word. You know, when you're able to do this, when you understand what Christ is teaching, you understand the plan of salvation, you understand what Christ is trying to do in this world, you are going to be better at bringing souls to Jesus Christ. Because you're going to understand it. And that doesn't mean you have to know every teaching in the denominational religious world. You don't have to just know the truth. It takes care of itself. It takes care of all that other stuff. Just know that. Everything else will take care of itself. Sometimes we get caught up in just trying to refute that stuff and we forget just to know the truth that people need to hear. What about as well in your growth this year? Have you been growing in your service to the Lord? There's a lot of ways in which we serve the Lord and His kingdom. One of those ways is faithfulness in worship. Do you understand the great blessing that it is to be here this morning? Do you understand, do you have a grasp of how wonderful it is, the opportunity it is this morning to be right here, right now, before the God of heaven? Are you honored? Do you consider yourself blessed right now to be before God? To have sang praises to His name, to have remembered the sacrifice of His Son and the memorial that He established. The great blessing of being able to give back just a little bit of the massive blessings that God has showered down upon us. Do we understand that? Have you come to better be faithful in worship? Have you attended better this year than you have in the past? Not because you have to, but that you have developed the faith in your life that says, I want to. I seriously doubt that if you're coming to worship today because you have to, I seriously doubt you're accomplishing much. Because a have-to attitude is an attitude that lacks the love that God deserves. People that don't attend services and do not see being here with God's family as important have a love problem. They have a love problem for God, and they have a love problem for their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's just all there is to. Because if you loved God's church, if you loved His people, if you loved His family, you'd want to be with them. And if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you want to worship Him. You want to be before Him in the way that He wants you before Him. So have you gotten better in that regard in your life? That you attend worship and are faithful to worship more than ever before? Have you been better able to let go of preferences that you have in order to worship as God would have you to worship? So many times that gets in our way. I wish they'd do it this way. I just can't enjoy worship because they're not doing it my way. I promise you, with 350 people, we are not going to do it your way. Somebody's going to be going, they're not doing it my way. I promise you, we can't do that. Worship service would, number one, be like 8 hours long if we did it every way everybody wanted, right? It's a lot like Nebuchadnezzar in his image, that they played all kinds of music, every kind of music that could be imagined. They played it so that everybody's music got played. Well, it's just, but you know, at the end of the day, that's not what it's about. I'm here for God. What about in your participation in the work of the church? Have you been more active in the work of the church? Are you helping the church accomplish our great purpose? And our great purpose and overriding purpose for all things is to reveal God's Word to a lost and dying world. That's our purpose. Have you participated in that? Have you been a part of that? Have you given more of yourself to that this year than you have in the past? Have you been about greater giving? Have you given more of your time? That goes back to the previous one. But have you given more money? You know, people get raises and they get bonuses and they're happy about that, but then they forget to give of those things back to God, that God has blessed them with more. If you made more this year, did you give more this year? I guarantee you that if you work your year and you expect a raise and you don't get it, you're going to be upset. If you don't get a bonus, you're going to be upset. And yet, God gives us more and we give Him nothing more. I can't imagine that God is going to be happy with that. I can't imagine that that is keeping with the golden rule, right? To do unto others as you have them do unto you. I have a feeling that it's like Malachi said, that we are doing something that we wouldn't do in this world to Him, and he called it robbing God. So have we been blessed more? If you've been blessed more, have you given more? Because you give as you have prospered. Very few of us here are not prospering. What about in your combating of sin in your life? Have you grown in that this year? We all have those things in our lives that we struggle with. It might be your temper. It might be the things you look at. It might be the things you think. But there's things in our lives that we struggle with. They are weaknesses that we have in our lives. Have you made headway in that area? We talked about in class this morning about God's statement to Cain, that with his sin, that if he didn't do something about it, it was waiting there, it was crouching at the door, and it was waiting to have him. It wanted to control him, but he had to master it. Have you made headway in mastering those things that are crouching at the door of your life, waiting to destroy you? Hopefully, you can think of a few today that you haven't just knocked back. Hopefully, you can think of a few that you've conquered. I've done away with that one. Folks, that's part of Christian growth, is that little bit by little bit, we kick the things that are driving us away from Christ out of our lives and replace them with that which is right and good. See, we don't want to do like the man who had the demon cast out, right? And nothing was replaced, and pretty soon they came back, right? You got to fill the void. You got to put good in there. Not just stop the bad things, but do the good things. Have you done that? Or are you at the same place with your weakness that you were the last Sunday of 2012? I hope not. Because we need to be growing. A year is a long time not to make any headway against our weaknesses. So that's individually. And there's a lot of other things that we could go into this morning that time will not permit. Let's think about congregationally this morning as well. Let's think about what we have done this year as a corporate group. You know, our theme was to be soul focused by focusing on our personal souls, the souls of the lost, and focusing on the souls of our brothers and sisters. That pretty much covers everything that we need to do as the Lord's church. Now, I've seen some wonderful spiritual growth in the lives of people in this congregation. I've had people speak to me about the improvements in their lives that have come by renewed commitment to their spiritual well-being. That having been focused now on spiritual things more, focused more on their souls, that focus has brought them closer to Christ, has given them greater strength in their life. And I'm so thankful to God that He has done that for them. Has He done that for you? Have we focused on our spiritual well-being as much as we focused on our physical well-being? Are we more where has our greatest concern been? What I can get physically, what I can buy, or what I can provide for physically, or what I can be spiritually? Have we grown in that area? I think as a congregation, we definitely have. And that closeness has made people better and stronger and lives better and stronger in this congregation. But not only have we seen that in their focus of their own personal souls, but see, as we talked about throughout the year, once I focus on my own personal soul and I get that going in the right direction, it's going to open the doors for the others, right? It's going to make me more capable of focusing on the lost and focusing on my brothers and sisters. I got to clean my own porch off before I start cleaning other people's. Got to get the beam out of my eye before I can pick specks out of others, as Jesus said. And we've done that. I know a lot have. We've also been focused on the souls of the lost. You know, we have given Bibles and DVDs and church cards to many people. And many of you have asked questions of not only me, but others as well that I know of, about different biblical issues and have come up in Bible studies that you're having, have come up in conversations that you're having at work, that you're having with friends, that you're having with family. And God bless you for that. Because so many people can walk through this world and say they're a Christian and never open their mouth anywhere about Christ. God forbid that it's any of us. But I know people are talking. I know you're talking to people. I'm teaching them about Christ and trying to find the doors of opportunity to bring them closer to Him. That was one of the primary goals of this year's theme, to help make evangelism not necessarily a congregational responsibility, but an individual responsibility. That each of us do our part. That each of us are an active member of that effort. For that will make it the greatest work we do here. If we're all involved in it. If we're all engaged in it. The more individuals personally engaged in evangelism, the greater the reach as well that we have. For we live all over this Raleigh-Durham area, don't we? We live north of Raleigh. We live all the way out in Durham. We live all over the place. If we got together on a Saturday, we might cover a few areas right here around the church building. But let me tell you what, if all of us are involved, and we have been, I know a lot of you have been, and I'm thankful for you for that, thankful to God for you, we're going to reach a lot further than just around this church building. We're going to sow a lot of seed. See, if you remember in the parable of the sower, he's just throwing seed everywhere, wasn't he? I mean, you know, he wasn't like digging a little hole and dropping seed in there. I mean, this guy's just flinging. I mean, he's just throwing it everywhere. Folks, go through your life, just fling it. You never know who it's going to land on, and they're going to be good soil, and it's going to burst forth in their life. Just fling it at everybody. Some people aren't going to like it. They're going to be hard and stony, but some people are going to be good. Don't miss the good soil because you're just picking here and there. Just fling the gospel everywhere you can. And I think many have started doing that in their lives. We had a wonderful Friends and Family Day. We had a number of our visitors, which I was very thankful for, that expressed an interest in the Lord's church. Expressed an interest in the Bible. Wanted to buy one of the free Bibles that we have and DVDs. And I don't know what's come of all those, but we've sown a seed. And it may not bear fruit today, but it may bear fruit in the years to come, and that's what we hope for. We, like Apollos and Paul, we have watered and we have planted, and we pray now that God will provide the means for the increase to happen in those people's lives. Now, while we've had success and focus on souls of the lost this year, our being so focused must be a continuing effort. While it was this year's theme, and we're going to have a different one next year, but this theme doesn't stop because this is our theme. This is who we are. We are soul focused. We're about souls. Jesus' kingdom is not of this earth. He said that himself, right? It's a spiritual kingdom. Souls are the spiritual nature of man. If the Lord does not return and gives us another year, it is my prayer that each of us will take seriously our personal responsibility to evangelism in the year to come, to bringing people to Christ, to being like Christ in a way that is one of the greatest emulations of Him that we seek and save, seek to save that which is lost. We have also done a lot this year in the third aspect of being soul focused, to focus on the souls of our brothers and sisters in Christ here at Cary. We have worked hard on multiplying our talents. And multiplying talents is a key to strengthening our spiritual lives, to strengthening our congregation. When we look at the parable of the talents, that God has given us things, what are we doing with them? They are not for us, they are for Him. And we are to use what He has given to us in our very lives, He has given to us, and we are to multiply that and give Him back more. So we're about multiplying talent. We're about learning to do more, be more than we ever have been before, that God might be pleased when He comes back, as He was with those that multiplied their talents in that parable. You know, we've done this in several different ways. We had our first Go Preach training camp, 9 young men of God who worked hard on learning to preach the gospel of Jesus. Some of those young men have continued to work in our Preaching 365 program, continuing to be challenged throughout the year with assignments as we've gone forward. We also worked on expanding our abilities at our first Rise Up weekend, where we learned about daily prayer and reaching the lost. So we've worked these talents. You know, this morning, Tom is at South Hill, and we've helped other congregations in the area. We've been helping for the last couple of months congregations. You know why? Because we have so many men here with such a great talent for teaching God's Word that we're able to actually help congregations that are struggling. But that's only because we're working to multiply our talents. We're working to be more than we were before and be more for God as we go forward in the future. Secondly, our focus on each other has seen the deacons over our education departments do a wonderful job in their efforts to improve what we do in teaching God's Word in our Bible classes, and we are looking at some other great ideas that are coming in 2014. I'm excited about what this congregation is moving toward. Our elders and deacons have also made great efforts and goals to help our families grow closer and stronger. And I believe that there is already fruit being born from these efforts. And we have made efforts toward a focus on truly substantive activities that help the congregation grow spiritually and better accomplish its task of fulfilling the great commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to accomplish what Christ wants us to accomplish. You know, I'm very thankful for our deacons and the hard work they do. And they've been working very hard of late, especially getting calendars ready and things ready for this coming up year. And I'm very thankful to them, good godly men that are working hard. Very thankful to our elders. We are so very blessed to have the fine shepherds that we have here. They are good godly men that are focused on God and doing what God would have this church to do. You know, these are just a few of the many things that have made this congregation, I believe, stronger for the Lord throughout this past year. But folks, we still have a lot of work to do. We don't ever finish. We don't ever get to the end. You know, even Paul said to the Philippians, I have not attained yet. I'm still pressing on. Got to keep pressing. You know, we're not done. We'll never be done. Our life is spent, as the song is, always doing more, becoming more, making Christ more in our lives. There should be no greater desire in our hearts than to please God through our work and efforts in the church as we accomplish His purposes. Today, and in fact, I hope you don't wait till the end of the year to do this, but we do these things at the end of the year just because it's kind of a time change thing for us to think about. It gives us a time frame to think about, but assess yourself and do it honestly. That's hard sometimes. I don't like to see my weakness. I don't like to see my failings. I would prefer to focus on all the wonderful things about me. Sometimes I even lie to myself, don't we? But put away the dishonesty. Put away the blinders, the rose-colored glasses, and assess your life in relation to Christ. Compare yourself to the man hanging on the cross. That's what you do in the Lord's Supper. This should be something you do every week, that you put your life up against the one that's hanging on the cross for you, for you, in your stead. You know, if you need to make changes, if you need to make improvements, do that. I guarantee you, speaking for Nathan, Nathan has a lot of improvements to make in 2014. He knows that. I'm not blind to that. And I believe everybody here has improvements that you can make, because no one here has attained it yet, but we're all working toward it. So find where you need to improve in your life. Find what you need to battle in your life and make it important. Now, I will probably resolve to lose weight in 2014, like I did in 2012, 13, 10, 11, 9, 8, 7, 6. If I don't accomplish that, you know, I just have to keep wearing my suits like I wear them right now, the size I'm wearing right now. Hopefully not any bigger. I'd like to at least maintain. But if I fail spiritually, it has terrible effects. Terrible effects for me. Terrible effects for those that are around me. So may we all endeavor with all of our might, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to grow. I hope and pray that you have grown this year. If you have not, determine today. We're going to talk about being resolving to be resolved tonight. And it's going to have a lot to do with this. We're going to see Daniel and his resolve. But resolve with all of your might to do better, to grow. So when we reach, Lord willing, the last Sunday of next year, you can sit there and you can think, I have really made strides for my Lord this year. I have become more like Him. It is less of self and ever more of Him. This morning, if we can assist you in that endeavor, we hope and pray that you'll let us. If you need to begin that endeavor by coming to Christ, we hope and pray that you will. By believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being buried in baptism, having your sins washed away, raised to walk a new life, a life where you spend the rest of your time of life on this earth growing ever closer and nearer to Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you'll do that if you understand what that is, what that means to do. And if you do not understand that, but you want to, we want to sit down with you. Please let us know. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you haven't been growing, and you know it. You know it better than anybody else. Be assured that God knows it as well. Repent of that. Determine to do better. God will forgive, and He will bless you. If you need to do something in a public manner, if you have sinned in public ways and you need to repent of that, if you need prayers for strength and growing in your spiritual life, we want to do that as well. Won't you let us? As together we stand and as we sing.